As Paul writes to the church at Rome, he says in verse 1, "My heart's desire and brethren and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Brother John, you've been looking at my notes this morning, haven't you? Paul's desire was for his nation to have salvation. As was mentioned this morning, pray for the lost to know Jesus. Pray that they would know Jesus and have their sins washed away. I posed the question in Sunday school this morning, and you know, of course, don't raise your hand, but how many of us could think of a sin, something we've done in our lives, that we wouldn't want to tell anybody? But God has washed that sin away. If you put your faith in God through Jesus Christ the Savior and you've asked forgiveness, He has forgiven you of that. Isn't that wonderful? And nobody ever has to know. When you stand before God, and you know, we think about judgment, standing at the judgment seat of Christ, and everybody standing around, all these witnesses that are have been part of our lives, and any of them that have anything bad to say are not going to get on the witness stand. Isn't that good? Nothing. Nobody can testify negative things or sin against us on that day because our sins are forgiven. We read in James the other day, and he said, "For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him that is sin." It is a sin not to do the right thing. It is a sin not to do the good thing. We know better, and so we ought to do better. But Paul's desire for his nation was salvation, that everybody would know Jesus, that everybody would have their sins washed away, that everybody would have a future in heaven with God, that everybody would have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, that everybody would be brothers and sisters of faith. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, you look at all the arguments that we have and debates and conflicts that we have. Yes, you're going to have those even in a church of people of the same faith. But certainly, if everybody in our country knew Jesus, was born again, that things would be different, wouldn't they? Sure would be. We'd be able to do a lot more for good instead of having to deal with all the trash that we have to deal with, all the conflicts that are so unnecessary. And of course, when I say trash, that's what I'm talking about, is issues, not people. But we get caught in this junk that's around us. We shouldn't have to do that. But the world's not, the country's not saved. Not everybody knows Jesus. Not everybody believes in God. And you can tell as the generations go by and we get farther and farther away from that faith in Christ and that confidence in the Word of God as being the guidebook for living, you can tell how the country is changing as we get farther and farther from God, as we begin to blend in more beliefs and more acceptance and embracing more and more different ideas away from the Bible and away from God. Oh, yeah, you can tell a difference. We talked about the changes. The men were standing in the lobby talking about the changes in our just across the state over the last few decades. And the world's changed, hasn't it? It's changed a whole bunch. But wouldn't it be great, like Paul says, if the whole country was saved? Wouldn't that be great? If everybody was saved. Verse 2, "I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." There's zeal, there's excitement about doing God's work, but sometimes it's misguided. Does that make sense to you? It's misguided, it's uninformed. Particularly here, there were Jews who were trying to kill Paul and discourage the ministry because they didn't believe in Jesus. They believed in the old law. They believed in, you know, following all that, all the rules of the Old Testament. That's how you gain favor with God. Instead of understanding that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They were still stuck on the old stuff. And they couldn't step forward. By the way, there are churches today. And the foundation of the preaching in those churches is still based in the old stuff instead of in the new stuff. Now look, the whole Bible is the Word of God. It's all inspired. It's all beneficial, the Bible says, for our learning and our teaching. It's instructive. But we got to understand there's a difference between what God was doing in Israel and what God is doing in the world today. Does that make sense to y'all? You know, a lot of, as we study history and we see all of the journey of the Jews all the way back, if we go all the way back to Abraham and follow everything that God was doing in that nation, He was dealing with a nation. That's not what we're talking about today. Now, in the book of Revelation, after the rapture, of course the attention focuses back on Israel. That's why we have the two witnesses and the 144,000, again, focused on Israel. But right now, during what we call the Gentile age or the church age, what God is doing is He's drawing people to Himself. He sends the Holy Spirit to reach them. He sends evangelists, those who are in the church who are spreading the gospel, and we share the gospel. The Holy Spirit is inside of you convicting you, hey, this is for you. You need to pray. You need to get saved. And then you pray and ask God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. He writes your name in the book of life. He puts His presence within you called the Holy Ghost. And that's what God's doing today. And what happens is then we become one of the evangelists. Did I lose you? Are you good so far? So that, you know, we're not living by the stuff in the Old Testament. That was for them then. Are the principles and standards the same? Of course it is. Of course the standards are the same. But we have to understand we're not living under that law. We can be zealous and passionate and be wrong because we don't know the whole story. How many of you ever got excited about something before you knew the whole story? And then when you found out the whole story, it kind of changed your attitude. Well, that's what happens with religion sometimes. That's why we need to be in the book. We need to be studying the Word of God. We need to be learning what God has for us. So we don't get so excited and go out there saying something that's not absolutely true. We can even see that happen in the New Testament with Apollos. There were prophets, there were preachers who got saved and then they just went out and started preaching and somebody had to pull them in and go, hang on a second, what you're saying is not right. What you're saying is not the whole truth. And they had to be taught. Some are holding tradition over truth. I love tradition. I like tradition. I do. I like tradition. I like manners. I like courtesy. I like those things. But you know what those things are not? Those things are not my faith. They're my traditions. And there are traditions that have been held by people in churches for decades and for hundreds of years, you might even say, that went against the Bible, and we have to abandon tradition when it conflicts with the Bible. We need to stand with the Word of God. One of the problems that these Jews in Rome were having is, in verse number 3, being ignorant of God's righteousness, they were going about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Don't raise your hand, but there is a risk that there are people who are trying to be good enough to get to heaven. Let me assure you this morning, you're not good enough to go to heaven. You're not. Me neither. None of us are. It doesn't matter if you become a missionary. It doesn't matter if you take care of orphans and widows. It doesn't matter if you rescue the owls and the whales and the trees and the spotted fern. It doesn't matter. You can do all, spend all of your energy and all of your fortune trying to change the world. And if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not righteous. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. And just to give you an understanding of what that equates to, use toilet paper. That's what it says in the Pahokee translation. That's how good we can get when it compares to God. In other words, yuck. We're not good. Because the truth is, as good as we can be at moments in our lives, and as treasured as our actions may be at some seasons of our lives, the truth is, inside of us, there is evil and wickedness and the capacity of sin. I can't be good enough. I need an intervention by God to come in and cleanse my soul, wash away my sin, and give me His divine presence, the Holy Spirit, to live within me and to guide me through this life. And that's what we get when we trust Jesus. That is the righteousness of God. Look at what he says. Verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You mean I don't have to tithe on the mint and the cumin as the Pharisees? No. You mean I don't have to go to church every Sunday? Don't tell anybody. But no. You mean I don't have to pray on my knees facing toward Jerusalem 3 times a day? No. You mean I don't even have to be baptized to go to heaven? That's true, you don't. How do I get righteous? Submit yourself to God. Surrender to God. Ask His forgiveness. He washes away your sins. It's not about your deeds. It's not about your good works. It's not about your good intentions or your good words. Look, it's good for us to do right. It's good for us to do, you know, live up to the standards and principles of God. But He washes our sins away. The Bible says even the stain of that sin, He washes away. That's what we need. God's righteousness. Not our righteousness. Jesus standing in our place. He is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. Once we trust in Christ, you see, the law is to give us a directive of how to live our lives. We can't live up to it. None of us can be perfect in following the law. So Jesus steps in and shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, and that blood washed our sins away if you trusted Him as your Savior. Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. What saith it? Our faith does not say who can bring Jesus to us. We don't have to see Jesus in the flesh. By faith, we put our faith in Him. By faith, we call out to Him and ask forgiveness. By faith, we believe. So we don't have to go. When you get to heaven, it's too late to make up your mind. When you go in the grave, it's too late to decide. We have to make that decision now. So He says, the word is near, nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word is here. God brings us right to the edge. In the Old Testament, you know, of course, the Jews went in. Joseph brought his family eventually over to Egypt, and they lived there. And God, by the Holy Spirit, by His divine presence, He led them out. Yes, He used Moses, but Moses was following the cloud too. So God, in His divine presence, He leads them by cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and they follow Him, and they follow Him, and they eventually get where? Right to the Jordan River, right to the edge of the promised land. And then what did God do? He parted the Jordan. He stopped the water so that the river went dry and they could cross over on dry ground. But here's my point. He got you right to the edge. But you got to step in. You have to make the decision to cross in, to cross that dry bed, that riverbed, and to come to faith. It's in you. You have the ability right now from your heart to God to say, God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I know I have let you down. I have faults. But I know Jesus died for my sin too. And He rose the third day to give me victory. God, I ask you to forgive my sin and save my soul. And God, I give my life to you. I surrender my life to you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. All you have to do is say it. He said it's near you. That's how close some people get to being saved. They understand the burden. They understand the need. They understand. They believe it, but they just won't say it. He parted the Jordan and invited them to cross. Look at verse number 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You mean I don't have to be a good person? I just read where it said you can't be good enough. You see, good is an assessment that I make and you make. I may think I'm a good person, and I may think you're a good person and vice versa. But that doesn't mean it's true. I was shocked this week to hear of someone and their moral failures. Somebody said, I never would have expected that of him. And I said, it just goes to show that we don't know what kind of monsters walk among us. You may get dressed for church and come in here and look, you know, pure and white as a driven snow, and that's good. And I hope that's true. But I know that you and I have the capacity to do wickedness. You and I are but one step away, one poor decision from ruining our lives, just one. And everybody would say, I never would have thought he would have done that. I never would have thought she would have done that. Why? Because the truth is, in general, we're good people. But the other truth is, we all have the capacity to do evil. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. And being saved and being lost, being eternally secure in the forgiveness of God and being cast into the lake of fire is just one step that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How close are you this morning? How close are you? Verse 11, the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, but I'm not sure if I'm saved. Then call on the Lord right now. God, forgive my sins. I trust in you. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Be sure. Well, I remember I went to church one time and walked the aisle one time, and I even remember getting baptized one time, but I just don't remember what I said. Then say it again today. You know what God's going to do if he looks down the list? He goes, oh, your name's already here. It's okay. It'd be okay if your name's already there. But I'm telling you, be sure. Call on him and be sure. Look at what he says in verse 14. Because we're transitioning between 13 and 14 from those who are not sure that they're saved to now those who know that we're saved. And here's the question, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? So what's he saying? He's saying they can't call on him if they haven't believed in him, and they can't believe in him if they never even heard of him. So that means that they've got to hear about him if they're going to know about him. And how can they know? Who's going to tell them? Everybody do this right here. Yeah, that's who. Who's going to tell them? You mean that you talk to people every day and you consider yourself to be their friend, but you won't tell them about Jesus that died for their sins? You won't tell them that they could walk into communion and fellowship with Almighty God? You won't tell them that they could live for eternity in the peace and the joy and the love of God? That you would let them die and go to hell and be cast into the lake of fire? Why? And you talk to them every day. You know them. You recognize them. You know them by name. And you won't tell them about Jesus. How shall they call upon him if they can't believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they don't even know who he is? Oh, but Pastor, we're in America. Everybody knows who Jesus is. I'm sad to say there's a lot of people who have a misunderstanding of who Jesus is. And isn't that where we started? Paul said they have a zeal, but they don't have the knowledge. They have excitement about their religion, but their religion is wrong. Oh, but Pastor, I don't believe in changing people's religion. So you'd rather let them believe in that nonsense and go to hell than to have a discussion with them? I'm not saying debate them. I'm not saying fight with them. I'm not saying point your finger in their face and tell them they're wrong. Just saying to open the Bible and show them what the Bible says. Right here at the top of my page, I've got a number. It says page 1251. You know why? Because I've got the Roman road listed in my Bible. If I need to tell somebody about Jesus and forget where to go look at the verses, I can go to this page and it tells me which the next page to go to. And then when I get there, it tells me the next page to go to. So I can show them in the Bible how to be saved. I encourage you to do the same thing with yours. Have the plan of salvation in Scripture. Instead of it saying, well, that's what your church believes. No, that's what the Bible says. Not just what my preacher preaches or what my church teaches. That's what the Bible says. Verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? Jesus said something to us. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Two words. He said, go ye. Who is ye? That would be ye and ye. Go ye. It's our job. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not sent. I send you. Jesus sends you. The commission of the church is that we are sent. Yes, you are sent. I am sent. How shall they preach except they be sent? You are sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How many of you have beautiful feet? One person said, me. You know why? You see, today we can get on this little contraption and we can know what's going on in real time around the world. But this text refers to people who were far off in the hills and the mountains, their family and their farm, and isolated really from everything. See, today I can go on my phone and I can tell you exactly where the storm is and where the lightning struck and which way the storm's headed and all that wind direction and all that kind of stuff. Right now, I can do that. You can too if you have that app. Used to be, you wouldn't know the storm was coming until it was there, right? The same philosophy is these people who are isolated and they don't get news because they don't talk to anybody, and then suddenly somebody comes along with beautiful feet. What does it mean? It just means they were glad they came. That's all it means. It means they were so excited to have somebody come along with some news from outside their little world, their village. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How many of you love your mailman? Some days all he brings is bad news, huh? Junk mail. Political ads now, right? And so we don't think much, but if you're expecting something, oh, how beautiful are the tires of them that bring the mail, right? Beautiful feet. What's he saying? He's saying if you're bringing something good, it's good for you to be there. What's he saying? He's saying, share the good news. He's saying, make it pleasant when you show up. Make people feel good for you to knock on their door, or show up at their house, or show up in the room. How many of you know somebody when they come in the room, you just kind of get that sense of, anybody know anybody like that? Right? Or somebody walks in the room, you just, like, automatically you get a smile because you're just so glad they're there. You know anybody like that? That's what we're talking about. We're supposed to be the second group. Bring a good news. We know the need. We know the urgency. We know how, right? How can I be saved? Do you know you're a sinner? Yes. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Yes. Right now you could pray and say, God, forgive my sins. I put my faith in Jesus as my Savior. You know how. You know how to tell somebody else. You know the benefit of knowing God personally, don't you? How many of you feel like you've benefited from your salvation? Man, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. I could talk to the Creator of the universe. I could talk to Almighty God. I can bring Him my burdens. I can bring Him my little needs, my big needs. I can just be in His presence and just be still and know that He is God and trust in Him. Don't worry about things. Just trust in Him. When my loved ones die, I don't, you know, you lose them because they're distant, but you don't lose them because you know where they are. Why? Because we know they're in heaven if they knew Jesus. Peace. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, or mourn like those who have no hope. You know, we're going to see them again. He says in verse number 17, so then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I'll provide you to, or provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest to them that asked not after me. What? God gives us opportunities to reach people that don't know they need God. Did you hear what I said? They don't even know they don't have God. They don't know they need God. Some of them don't even know there is a God. Isaiah says, I was found of them that sought me not. Just in regular conversation, Jesus leaned against the well and just was tired, the Bible says. Woman came up there to get some water and he said, give me some water. She said, you're talking to me. He said, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for water. She said, you don't have anything to draw with. The water, the well is deep. He said, oh, and I'm not talking about this water. I'm talking about the water of life. Once you drink it, it'll be like a spring bubbling up and flowing over. She said, I want that kind of water. Now, let me tell you something. When she got to that well, she didn't know she needed God. There are going to be people in our lives this week, maybe even today, who are going to come across our paths and they don't know they need to be saved, but we know it. We can share Jesus with them. We have to be the ones to present the gospel to them. They don't know they're looking for it. They don't know they're missing it. Verse 21, but to Israel he saith, all day long I've stretched forth my hands to a disobedient, gainsaying people. So he says in one verse, there's going to be people that we reach who didn't know they needed to be reached. And the next verse, he says, we're going to work hard to reach some people who don't want to be reached. But look at what he said. With outstretched arms, I've stretched out myself, my hands. I keep reaching out to them. I keep trying to help them. I keep trying to save them. There'll be those who are easy to reach, and there'll be those who we work hard to reach. But what he says is we need to reach them. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, and you've been counting on your goodness and your righteousness, I believe we've made the case this morning that you are not good enough to go to heaven. Not just you, me neither. We need Jesus. You could pray and ask God's forgiveness today. Put your faith in Jesus. He'll wash your sins away and save your soul. You're that close. And if you're saved, you know you need to tell others about it. Your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, and anybody you come across that you know does not know Jesus. It's our job. How can they hear without a preacher? Would you stand? Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus, the opportunity to be in your house and in your word and in your presence this morning. We just pray that you'll do your work now in us, that when we leave this place, we'll be settled with you. In Jesus' name. The altar's open. If you want to come and kneel and pray, if you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to. But you can pray where you are. God, I put my faith in you. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to you. I give my life. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, ask Brother Andy to dismiss us.